I gotta say, that is one of my best favorite takes. When you opened that, Craig said that, man, that was, I almost wrecked the car when he asked you if you were amphibious. Oh, man, that was good, because super producer Anthony Haney and Craig Hoffman, the host of the Hoffman Show, and it, somebody, I love those little jingles when you go in and it's impromptu and you get after it. Because to be behind a glass and to produce, you have to be ambidextrous, because you are cutting. I'm watching you guys. It really is a talent to be able to function on air while producing. Like The Stallion, who, you know, The Stallion is my dude because he wears so many different hats. Also, I mean, the face of Locked On Nationals, the pod, Ryan Stallion, Clary joins us right now, talking Seam, and he's coming down. You know, he really has a grace about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some dudes just have it. Other guys have to try to figure out how to make it work. But Clary, it's almost like me as a scout. If I'm scouting, I'm looking around, I see a kid, I go, this kid looks the part. You know, he's strong from his left side. He can, you know, hits on both sides. He, as a position, he's positionless because he could do everything. It's quite impressive, quite impressive. And so he works part-time on the Grant and Danny program at 106.7 The Fan. And I love when you go to put on your baseball cap, because then I know that you're back in Little League.
Yeah.
You're back to something you really love.
I'm a baseball guy.
I know, Doc. It.
I'm a baseball guy.
I know it. I know it. And so when I get to hear you talk about baseball and these situations, we're not foreign to us in the DMV, because we know when a program is spilling a little oil.
Oh, we know it.
We know it.
I mean, we know it. Trust me, the Nationals.
But all of our sport teams here, we know when that time. They've been great. 219. And look, it couldn't have been. It was ecstatic. We've been privy to some great baseball and some great baseball players. See, I remember when Soto was, you know, we got him. But Victor was all I kept hearing about. But they weren't talking about Juan, talking about Victor. In the beginning, I remember that vividly. I go, man. This was the second choice from the way I understood it. Robles. All I heard about was Robles. And then, well, who's this other dude? The other dude was chopping wood.
I know.
Chopping wood. So the development and then the team that was built here in the number ones and on and on and on and on. And then now I feel like, and it may have been because of the death, it may have been a change of philosophy, but now I'm not certain that baseball's first from the top down. And that bothers me.
I think it bothers a lot of people, Doc. And honestly, it's kind of the big question right now, because the team is cutting costs. Like, this team has not been able to spend in free agency. And, like, again, we see it in the NFL, not really to the baseball extent, mm-hmm. but, like, some teams won't necessarily pay the top dollar. And I think it proves across baseball in general that, number one, you have to develop, and number two, you have to spend in free agency. And unfortunately for the Nationals, they have not done either of those situations. That's why you saw Mike Rizzo. He got blown out. He couldn't do the developing. And then also with the ownership, like today, for instance, actually, the guy who was just traded, Kyle Finnegan, signed a one-year, $6 million contract this offseason, Doc. Half of the money is deferred across the next few seasons.
So more money out now. We're paying $32-33 million to two guys that weren't on your team this last year. And it's just, it never ends.
It never ends. And this is not like that Max Scherzer deal back in the day when they deferred the money that we're still paying today.
Right,
like,
right.
I get that. That
right.
makes sense. Like, that's what the Dodgers have done.
We got his service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for a one-year contract, it brings up questions. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, like, this isn't just the one time either. They did this last year with Joey Gallo also mm-hmm. for a one-year, $5 million contract. They deferred the money over the next few years. I have no inside knowledge of this. Like, I'm just a fan. I get to watch this team.
Well,
talk
about
this
team. Well, you're
more
than a fan. Don't just...
Hey, you're right. You're right.
Don't do that. I mean, you got mad skills, and you're able to cover them despite the frustration.
Of course.
Look, dude, I did it for 26 years. When you cover something you care about and they suck, it affects your psyche.
It does.
Trust me.
No, I know. You know it very well, the football team. Uh-huh. But, like, getting back to it with the Nationals, like, it brings up the question of, like, what's really going on here?
Yeah.
Like, again, because this is not, like, a usual thing. Like, teams around baseball do not defer one-year deals, especially when it's $5 million. That's peanuts. That's like you and I going to get peanut M&Ms from the vending machines. That's nothing. It's $2. Okay, done. I got my snack. That's it. They're deferring that payment over a couple of different seasons. So it brings up the question of, is this ownership group, like, in need of money at this point? Because they have not spent in free agency. And now for one-year cheap deals for Kyle Finnegan and Joey Gallo last year, who's out of baseball at this point.
Well, they're counting the dead money they're spending as money to the bottom line.
Oh, I know. But even then, it's a bottom 30% payroll in baseball.
So then sell it.
That's what the fans need at this point. And honestly, that's what everybody needs. That's right. What the organization needs. The learner ownership group, they need it at this point. You got us 2019. Thank you for that.
Love
that.
Time
to move on.
Yeah, love that. And Stallion, I'm with you. It's so frustrating, but although it's not the only sport we've gone through that frustration, but I'd like to see this get fixed because the way it's going right now, and Anthony, you could jump in, we won't get to see James Wood long term.
No.
It won't happen here.
It's not going to happen here. I mean, then again, like what? He's got 6 years left on his deal. So maybe there is new ownership. Maybe the Nationals do eventually sell. And then
maybe that would be
you bring in like a billionaire 10 times over kind of owner that just is like, you know what? We're going to keep our stars here in DC. And they send a message, but he's a Scott Boras client. You're not going to sign him to an extension before he hits free agency.
Right.
He's going to test the market. So at this point, you're just going to have to hope and pray that the Lerner family is out at this point. And also, by the way, the Nationals actually just made another trade. They sent Alex Call to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, he looks like a Dodger.
He's a Dodger. He's a Dodger. I love that guy.
I loved him, too. He's fast.
He's energetic.
He's a baseball player.
He is.
He just looks like a baseball player. And I hate that for here, but love you, Blue. You know, it's as much as they are struggling now, we feel like it's temporary if they can get arms health. Arms. What is going down now in terms of the frequency of injuries? Now, back in the day, especially my age, because I lap you guys in age, it was cats throwing no-hitters and throwing double-hitters. Folklore tells you Satchel Paige threw a double-hitter. He pitched a double-hitter. Why now? Is it because of velocity or the fact that they're not multi-sports participants? They're just doing one thing, and one thing that long does not work.
I think it's velocity, number one, but I also think it's like the modern-day mechanics to help generate that velocity. It's like it's all in like the torque and like kind of ripping that elbow back, and it's just like a different kind of way to throw nowadays. Because back then, like you were saying, I mean, guys were going.
Bob Feller. I mean, you have flamethrowers.
Yeah, they're throwing every night. I mean, not obviously at every, but like way often, going 9 innings deep. And you know what? They run the next day, and all of a sudden, they ice their arm, and they're fine to go for a few days later.
Guys throwing out 5 innings, and you're a demigod.
Yeah, and I also think, like, again, the velocity and just the way that like mechanics are nowadays. But also, it's like the off speed. Like guys are doing like these different things. Like they're trying to hold their grip on a curveball a little bit differently to try to get a little more spin on it, and that can kind of cause some tension in the elbow, and then the elbow eventually snaps. So it's a lot of different things. I do think for a majority of it, it's the velocity, because again, like that is wear and tear on your ligaments and your joints and all that stuff. So eventually at some point in time, Father Time will catch up to everybody. And in some cases, these arms, the elbows, I mean, they're really sensitive. Like, I've had an elbow injury my whole life. I played baseball, injured it back in high school. It's never been the same. Like, it's just one of those things where it's at a high rate right now. No one necessarily knows why. But if we had to bet, it's probably because guys are just trying to throw the hardest, because that's what gets you paid nowadays. And the pitchers know that.
Clary, you know, over here on the Hoffman Show, Craig and I are casuals to an extent. But I do, you know, my due diligence when I can.
Baseball ant.
Yes, sir. How surprised were you that Mackenzie Gore wasn't moved off of? And the only reason I ask that is because I feel as though we're in a weird situation with the team in general where we sort of kind of have to rebuild and, you know, start from the bottom. And I think his value right now is probably at its highest as it will be for, you know, years to come anyway, because we only have him under control for team control for like 2 more years, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has 2.5 years left in his deal.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like, it kind of goes back to ownership as to why I would trade him, because he's a Scott Boras client like James Wood. You're not going to be able to extend this guy.
Nope.
And, again, if you were to ask yourself this, are the Nationals going to be competitive the next 2 years? No. Even with Mackenzie Gore, no, they will not be. So, for me, I'd rather get value in return.
Yeah.
Get your prospects in here, because, again, the only reason why we thought the Nationals could be good this season is because of that Juan Soto trade.
Yep.
If you take away that Juan Soto trade,
don't even go there.
We would be the Rockies. We would be the Colorado Rockies. And so Mackenzie Gore is not on that Juan Soto level.
Yeah.
We all know that. But you would get a really good return with some really good players in that could potentially help you win right here and right now and potentially next year and then in 2027. So yeah, you do lose an ace, and I would have made this move. I would have traded him away and done. Like, again, it sucks. Like, I get the frustrations with the fans about how they want to keep their in-house stars. Like, you want to keep this guy. He's a stud. He's great and all of that. But he's not going to be here in 2 years.
Yeah.
He's just not. He's going to walk in free agency, and I've kind of come to that realization. It's a sucky one, but still, that's just the time right now in D.C.,
As a manager, and we know you've got another appointment to get to, but if I'm a manager worth my salt, why would I want to come somewhere where the structure above me is just dysfunctional?
Exactly, and the people know in the game. They're like, they know in the game. Like, the word gets around. Mike Rizzo is a well-respected guy. You don't think, like, the next manager or the next GM coming to town is going to call Mike Rizzo and be like, hey, what's going on with the learners? Like, what's going on with them?
Well,
it's talking to agents. Like, people know. And so I think, again, the real problem right now, I think we're all on the same page with this, it's ownership. That's going to have to change, and then hopefully some good changes will come from that, and maybe we'll actually be able to talk about another postseason team here in town, because, again, and that was a lot of fun in the 2010s. That was the team in the town.
Yeah,
so.
Well, we'll see what happens. Hope for a good weekend. It's Sunday, the Hall of Fame induction once again over there, and it's always a special Sunday, and we're able to bring some people in and honor them and their careers, and so that'll be a whole bunch of fun.
That will be fun. Good to see you, Doc.
See you Sunday. I tell you, the Stallion, man, he's smooth, isn't he?
Yeah. Smooth as a baby's butt.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, player.
Yes, sir.
No, Ryan does a great job. You can tell, but talking about something he loves. 5:15 in the nation's capital. We'll keep it going. We will not hog the microphone. You can join us, 301-230-0980. Of course, have I bragged on that Odyssey app enough so far?
I don't
believe
think
it's
so.
Free. I think we should charge.
Yeah.
I really do. It's awesome. Stay with us. We'll be back. What is your favorite concert, Ant-Man, that you've attended? That the one that you say when some person asks you, what is your favorite concert that you attend, you were in person for, that you actually paid for, it wasn't a gig for you, Lifetime?
Do festivals count?
Was it a music award? Was there entertainment?
Yeah, but there were like several artists like singing.
Okay,
and rapping.
Okay. Give me your top three.
All right. So if I had to just do a festival, I would do Roots Picnic in Philadelphia.
Okay, that sounds good, man.
And then if I had to do an individual, do you know who Rod Wave is, Doc?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't. You know who Chris Brown is?
Yes.
All right, so I would do Rod Wave, Chris Brown. Those two right there, great performers.
Yeah.
I've also been to Usher's concert as well.
Oh, I bet that was hot.
He's a real performer.
Yeah.
Crazy, though.
No, yeah. I was thinking yesterday when we went country and we closed talking about some real cuisine and lifestyles of the black and white era. And I was thinking that, I know you young folks, what y'all do most of your entertainment now is on your phone. But back in the day when concerts were the only, I mean, it was it for live entertainment. And I think all the time, yeah, what was the... And I saw Parliament Funkadelics land in the Los Angeles Coliseum. When the mothership landed.
Knee deep?
Dude.
And like, I know a little something.
No, I'm just saying, but, you know, it's almost like seeing Earth, Wind, and Fire live. It was out of this world. The Barry White and the Love Unlimited Orchestra. The brother ran the orchestra now. Marvin Gaye at the Coliseum. Teddy Pendergrass live is one of the best things. Stones with the US Air Arena. The Rolling Stones live.
Did you see Luther?
Several times.
Okay.
He was my number one. Now, and that's hard because I saw Michael. Even Michael, his sister, Janet, she ripped it up. But Luther, there's no equal.
I think he would have been my favorite person to see.
He was, saw him twice.
His
live.
Voice.
Big Luther and Little Luther. Saw two different Luthers. Same sound. But the Motown whole thing, because of the way it was all put together, it was crazy, man. It's really, live entertainment, to me, still is the only thing that can eclipse sports. Or is on the same level to me. It's got to be live entertainment and athletic, because eight people are bawling out in front of people and circumstances. I mean, it's just some very gifted people when it comes to music and the whole nine yards. And I thought, I saw 46 minutes of Frank Sinatra live at the US Air Arena. Brother performed for 46 minutes. That was it. And it was breathtaking. I mean, just, it is some really talented people that have these gifts. We cover sports. That's another form of that. There's an athleticism in that. Is the synchronized. They work. The steps, the work that goes into it. And I guess we judge wins and losses based on sales and all that. But when you get a bad sports team in your town, it's like, would you sit up and hear somebody missing notes? They were terrible. At a concert, no, you'd walk out. You wouldn't put up with it. But we accept it in sports. And it's like, what are we walking into now? Are we going to get this thing fixed? How long, what is it going to take to turn the Nats around? Real question. I feel like the Wizards, I don't think the Wizards are in free fall anymore. I don't think they're in free fall.
No, I don't think so.
I don't. I believe that they're now on the track. They have everything everybody else has. They're modern. They got, you know, it's not like they're third world country competing. They got it now, and I believe it's going in the right directions. Mystics, then warp speed. I feel good that we're going to be at that high level again real quick. Caps? We know how to do it. This is a big year. Big year, because we're going to lean on that system that we have built. That Hershey machine is going to have to cash in, because we went through the celebration and the record and all that. But we got to figure out how to get closer to kissing that cup. And that may be a little bit of a transition. This year it's going to be very interesting, because you know grade eight don't want to go out not being competing for the cup. It's interesting, because we don't want to be terrible. We want to be competitive. We want to win at everything. So, and the biggest lead right now is the burgundy and gold, because they have taken it to the highest level of accomplishments in terms of a team. But this season now, you said, well, you snuck up on people last year. Okay, we ain't sneaking now. We wide open. Now what? And that's why this year it's going to be very important. AMAC, who's a Giants fan, and I can't wait because we opened them with the Giants. Do you feel better right now? It ain't like we ran them off the field last year. Very fortunate in the opener. I'm asking you right now, are you comfortable that we'll be ready to blow the doors off the Giants week one?
It's too soon to say, Doc.
Smart. That was a smart answer.
I'd rather sit back.
Smart answer.
And watch everything.
No, no,
else
I just
unfold.
Asked you that. I threw that at you like a Linnell question.
Okay. You thought I was going to fall for it. Okay.
No, he would have. How can you evaluate what you haven't seen?
Yeah.
You have no idea who's even going to be in the game, let alone that. But the expectations is that rightfully we're going to be favored.
Probably.
Yeah. No, you know, probably. You coming off the NFC Championship appearance. And JD5, if he's healthy throughout camp and you don't sustain, I mean, look what they did to try to patch up a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a really good job. Really good job. And really, who's the prize bull in both these things? Lattimore and Tunsil. Lattimore, Tunsil, Debo. Lattimore, Tunsil, Debo. You start thinking to yourself the fact that your two executives, one on defense at the middle linebacker position, one at tight end, they did not sustain any offseason setbacks. They're both very healthy. That's important. Because I don't think you get to where you got to without those two. And it's dangerous when the oldest guys on your team are have that big a role. Keep it real. So that's why I like where we're at. You know, another thing I think is going to be the biggest surprise? The secondary.
Yep.
Secondary.
The ceiling for it, man.
Yeah, the secondary, man. People treat it, and a lot of thought people were disrespectful, a lot of more. But it wasn't that you were disrespectful. You just don't understand. A man that is coming off an injury playing a speed position, would you have preferred he said, I can't go? No, you wanted him out there. And he didn't mind being embarrassed at sometimes to get out for a team he just was getting to know. It ain't like they was his road dogs. He just met them. I admire the fact that he put himself in harm's way and was exposed. And yeah, I'm the one that said he should have been here the whole time and everything voluntary. I don't give a damn what it is. But he's there now. And I love his attitude. I love the way he approaches the game. So we're going to see. It's going to be very interesting how we come out of the box. Very interesting. 5:28 here in the nation's capital. Lavero, last name, first name, Tom, will be with us 6 o'clock sharp. Get your popcorn ready. We'll be right back. You know, Anthony, Overtime has a celebrity hosting tonight. And I can't wait to hear that because I understand he's quite knowledgeable. And so I'm gonna be locked in on that.
What's his name?
I don't know. I didn't get his name, but he's got a site. It's NELL_BTP.
The _BTP is really what sets him apart.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, he's on the cusp of innovation. And tonight, I understand he's going to break some news that the DMV does not want to miss. Yeah, it's going to be fun. 301-230-0980 is our number. And Kansas City, boy, you know what? We're getting a lot of Kansas City callers to this day. Is that what happens when you have the best quarterback on the planet and you get used to winning? JYD, what up?
What's up, my man?
Hey, man, I'm just we all getting ready for overtime tonight. Beg your pardon?
It also counts that you got we got Doc Walker, we got Anthony.
Yeah.
And then you got the Junkyard Dog.
Well, we love that. Well, Junkyard Dog, don't forget to hit overtime tonight, brother.
To any question.
Yeah. What's happening?
You gotta look at you was talking about the baseball, the Nationals,
yep,
and whatever, and when will they get it together? It's gonna be a long time because see, a team up for sale is not gonna take on a lot of debt. they're trying to throw people overboard, which you know, and like, and they're not, and yes, they're not going to keep McKenzie. I was surprised that he wasn't dealt. I mean, it could still happen. It's not 6 o'clock yet,
right,
or whatever. And as far as Wood is concerned, I mean, he's here for another 5 or 6 years or whatever, you know, not unless he starts making rumblings, you know, later on that he wants out of here, you know, whatever. But, you know, he could bring in a haul for him, you know, if he continues to play like he does. But, you know, but other than that, you know, they got a long road to travel or whatever to you know, to get it all straightened out, because, you know, I look at these other teams today. Teams that made deals today mainly because they are still in it. They are no, you know, like they're no more than three or four games or four or five games out of either the division lead or for a wild card. Like the Rangers and Astros, they, you know, they've gotten back into the fray.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. I tell you what, we got a lot of good baseball ahead of us. And I just think, look, big picture, I want to know that the owner of my favorite sports team is all in, not using this as a transaction. And if the siblings don't want it, then no problem, sell it. But I don't want to go through this.
Well, see, it's all about the, how many billions that somebody's willing to give him for it.
Yeah, well, now's the time. People are dumping it. You know, if you don't want to go big pockets on it, then move on. Because this is the face. If you're born on third base, you ain't got to run and play the whole game. Get the cash and move on. And then we can get somebody in here that's trying to build a championship program. But neither you or I are going to be able to solve that. But whatever you do, JYD, don't forget tonight, overtime. We appreciate you. 301-230-0980 is the number. Baseball, a little bit in transition. Football, building. You got me now even on the right side with Le Boulé, because I saw something that makes me go, okay, I'll buy into that, by the intensity in which they showed me towards in that summer league. First of all, I threw up in my mouth first game. By the time it was over, I was standing up doing a slow clap because I saw a connection. And then I got to see, Bub was here the other day. He was visiting, you know, the kid that does overtime?
Yeah.
The celebrity?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had him on a show. He had him here in person, in studio.
Did he sneak him, like, down the side door or something? Because I didn't get
to see him. Well, he's kind of a big thing now. And now he can't, he gets guests that we don't get. We're not privy to. But, he had the nerve to come up to me and say, hey, do you know who this is?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, he tried to punk me. He tried to punk me. And because he wanted to show Bub that he was a made man. Right? He wanted to show him he was a made man and that I had no idea who he was.
Wow, he tried to big up.
Yeah, he tried to big. Yeah, he did. But that's okay.
Do you know who was out at camp today? Will Dawkins.
Really?
And I saw that guy also having a conversation with Will Dawkins as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He knows everybody.
Well, he's kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess everybody knows him.
Well, it's like, you see, was the show the next big thing?
Yeah.
You got to think right now, if he was a stock, would you buy it?
Mm.
That's the question. Because nobody's referenced as often as he is. You know, when people start buzzing, there's a buzz going around. Yes. That says a lot. Yeah. I heard, the cornerback position in the NFL, it is the most dangerous position in football. Outside of quarterback, throw that away. DB. Because not only do you have to deal with what's in front of you, but you may or may not get help. If you don't have a pass rush, you just got to cover. If your safety's slow, guess what? you solo. I kind of like what I've seen and what I hear about our secondary prospects. I think that's important because we can't give up a shot, one play and done. Make people grind. And the only way you make people grind is not giving up one and dones. Not only is it the most demoralizing thing, especially if you're on the road. Road team, somebody goes over the top, what happens to the building? Building goes up, you get deflated. Very important for a team to have a guy, and we haven't had a lot that we could count on in the past, that could stop your best or your combination. Who now doesn't have two good receivers in our division?
Us.
That's it. We're the weakest at the wide receiver position in the division. And everybody's focusing on Terry. Ain't about Terry. It's about making sure, and maybe they did it with Debo. Maybe. But I look at him as a guy that can do a number. He's a Swiss Army. I'm going right now, if I'm game planning the Commanders, what am I saying to my secondary? Because Ertz don't scare me until he get in the red zone.
Ertz was big on third downs, though, Doc. That's his guy.
I said scare me.
Oh, scare you, okay.
Unless he's in the red zone, then he'll score.
What about third down, though? Third down. Yeah,
he don't still scare. Nobody that can't run away from me scares me.
You right.
So no, I'm saying Ertz. Scare me. Now, the kid behind him, who's showing some activity, showing some sense of awareness, Senate, he is showing me something as an athlete. Senate is showing me something. Because it's like one and done, one catch and go. Got to be able to, how deep do you get into my room? To how layers of how I have to defend you? Say what you want to say, but them secondary receivers last year, they stepped up. Made some plays.
They definitely did.
Made some plays. So we're going to find out. It's how much will you watch the Hall of Fame game?
Doc, I will watch it until I can't anymore.
So that's your nightcap.
But I definitely will have it on.
If you are not working tomorrow, because you know you got to be on your P's and Q's tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
You know, Craig ain't going to sleep tonight. No, sir, really.
First day back.
Hoffman will not sleep tonight. He's probably got a rundown set up tomorrow that I can't wait. I really can't wait to hear him.
Oh, wow. He actually just texted me, too.
What'd he say?
I can't wait for tomorrow.
I know it. Because he's a baller. He loves when you do what you love to do for a living. I'm surprised he even took off. That's when you know you're living right.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets that. A lot of people hate waking up to go to work. They do it because they got to do it. I got to go get the, you know, I got to get that coin. I got to do this and that. Hoffman? And that's the way you wish that upon people. That they found their niche. They found what excites the hell out of them. And it's them instant endorphins. And that's what really good fans do. That's what people that love. Like, you tailgate Ted. I love it. Because when they were talking about the city council and the meetings all. But I knew he'd be there. I don't know what else is going on in his life and what he does and all that other stuff. But I knew he'd make that priority number one. Now, what does all this mean? It means this football team has a lot of those same traits. Yeah, they make money. They're making a lot of money. But don't you kind of get the feeling that even if they could opt out, most of them wouldn't even consider it? They want to be there. They like the vibe. Terry wants to be there. Mm-hmm. He just wants to get paid for it. But he still wants to be there, even though they're doing what they've got to do. You know how long it has been since I could say that about that organization?
It's been a long time.
Man, we were a destination for bank robbers.
Yes, we were. Seriously. Over Haynesworth, man.
They all came here.
I'll never get over that one. I will never get over 6 years, $100 million.
Out of shape. It started
Albert
off out of shape.
Haynesworth.
It started off out of shape.
Terrible.
He didn't even have the wherewithal to at least come in condition. That's what a mark this group was. As opposed to now, hey, man. But that goes overall about people. You can't. The people that are lucky enough to do enjoy what they do is special. And that's why tonight, Canton, you still got to go. I urge you. You did France, and I know you're going to probably somehow. I think you'll go back before you go to the Hall of Fame game. I believe you need to see the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So the crazy thing is, so in a couple of weeks, Lou Holder and I will both be attending the National Association for Black Journalists Convention.
Yeah.
In Cleveland.
Oh, man, get to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And he said Canton is only 1 hour away.
That is true.
From Cleveland. So we're
Lou's probably been 10 times to.
Yeah, he said he didn't see everything he wanted to see, though.
Here's the problem with Holder. What hasn't he seen?
True.
It's going to be hard on that brother.
He's a world-traveled man right
there.
That's
my point. He's going to be hard for Lou to find things that excite him because he's done everything. I don't know if you heard him today, B. Mitch and Finley. Man, yep. They were bawling. They bawled out again. But today, they had Professor Holder on with them. And it was outstanding. They were getting things done. And that's the beauty about it, man. I know Finley's somewhere out there in the ether going to his other job. And that's the beauty about it. When you're always working, you're always doing what you want to do. But this baseball situation now, I'm a little worried about it. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. That bothers me. I really don't think there's a clear path. And that is of concern. If you're not pulling for the Nationals, who do you pull for? Baseball-wise. I don't see you as a real seamhead.
Nah, I mean, it's only the Nationals.
Okay.
Only the Nationals.
So you only watched the All-Star game because it was for work. You watched the World Series because it's part of your job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right, school.
But tonight I'll be watching the Hall of Fame game. And I'll be watching. Grant, I understand you're not too excited. You're not too fond of it.
Of what?
The Hall of Fame game. Because it's boring. Or it's not.
Oh, it is. The first half, the first series is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
but after that, it just goes downhill.
Well, if I'm there working, I've worked it twice.
What about halftime?
I don't. I am into the kids and the rookies. Because I remember how exciting it is.
So you don't care about the guys that are going to be enshrined? The Jared Allens of the world?
Oh, honoring the guys you played against or saw or watched.
Eric Allen, did you play against him?
No, I just remember. I do it for the speeches.
Sterling.
Love Sterling. I covered, you know, Packer games when Sterling, he was a beast.
Yeah.
Sterling Sharp was a beast. Remind me of Deebo Samuels. Deebo Samuels, reminds me of him. And that glue for hands, strong, come off the ball. Shannon is a Hall of Famer. Shannon Sharp is an absolute freak of nature. But his brother before him, stone cold killer. And it's unfortunate, and he's mentioned it, that they let him go. It's not cold-blooded.
Yeah.
It's just life.
But he wanted it to happen. They could have waited 5 days for the announcement.
Why should they?
Why not?
They're trying to generate. They're doing it for themselves.
It's already been months.
I understand that. So it's on purpose. They wanted to hurt him in a way, put him in a compromised position for a reason.
It hurts his brother, too. You're hurting other innocent people.
They don't give a damn.
Clearly.
That's why they did it.
Clearly.
Yeah, this could have been done before or after, but why? Why? They're pissed at him because to me he was so good.
Yeah. And they paid him a lot of money too.
Yeah, but they should have. But when he was doing that, Lakers in five, man, I almost hemorrhaged laughing while he's on because he made it so funny.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, it was just a good. And these shows, you got to get the right combination, man, because you're rotating a lot of people through, and all of it doesn't work.
Nope. And we're seeing that.
It just doesn't. But I tell you what, him?
Yeah.
Mad Dog on Wednesday? Dude,
I'm not a fan of Mad Dog.
Man, because you're young. You don't even know what most Mad Dog's talking about.
I mean, I know what Mad Dog Radio is. I've never listened. I don't. He is a very irrational guy.
I get it. It's just different. There's strawberry, there's vanilla, there's Neapolitan, there's just what's flavored.
Different
still
is
ice
an understatement,
cream.
Doc. That guy is
Oh, he's
crazy.
Extreme. Yeah, no, he's extreme.
He takes extreme to the extreme.
He's extreme. But he mentions a part of history that if he didn't mention it, a lot of guys your age would never even know what he's talking about. He forces you to research, forces you to know that there was a game before you and me.
He does. That
is important. Because if you don't say it, it doesn't exist. If we didn't go back and talk about the old Negro leagues, some people listening would never know it even happened. They'd never even know, what are you talking about? Who is Satchel Paige? That's why I like what he does.
So we praise him for being essentially an encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah.
One day a week.
Yep.
If it do it 5 days a week, it would kill. It wouldn't work. But I think because he's so good at it with all sports, letting you know that, hey, you may think you're something, but there was a guy before you. And it is true.
Yeah.
Because we just blank out history, man. We think the last thing we saw is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, recency bias isn't always the worst.
But you know what I love about Sonny Jurgensen?
What?
Is that people never stop talking about how he threw the football. I don't give a damn who we've had. Number nine?
Bad man.
Slinging it. Just think about how rare it is to have something or someone that transcends the past, or the future, rather, and is someone we bring up. Could we just eliminate people? I mean, it is amazing how brutal we are, really, as sports fans. Latest, greatest. Holy Slim. Like, I try to always tell myself, I never thought I would mention the Iceman. I hardly ever mention him. And he, to me, dude, this boy was phenomenal.
You talking about George Iceman Gervin?
Yes. Iceman.
Hey, I'm out of my game out of the hip to an extent.
Let me tell you something. The coldest poster, sports poster ever, ever to me, Iceman.
His finger roll, high off the backboard.
It is.
That's where I get my saying from, Doc. I was telling Linnell.
Who?
Linnell. I was telling him.
Oh, BTP, okay.
Yeah. That I wouldn't use an offensive move on him. All I would do is take two small dribbles, finger roll, high off the backboard, George Iceman Gervin style. Single time. That's all it takes.
George Iceman
It's a Gervin. Bad man. It's a bad man.
No, I'll tell you what. We did it with food the other day, doing it with sports, and just thinking about some of these cats that played. Like, you really didn't see vintage Jerry West. You've seen him, the logo and all that, but you didn't see him go. Dude, Rick Barry. Pistol Pete was playing now with social media. Man, you would never have heard of half these people. 554, we're scooting out to a break. 301-230-0980. And what? Hey, look, NELL_BTP. Back in a moment.